Log Talk Radio.
Okay.
To get what you want to be, you know that you gotta grind.
Did you
have a productive week?
Yeah, stuff got done.
What about hey Tanya, how was your week? Oh my god. And Bay over here in the corner, how you doing? Did you have a good week? Guys, I'm going to kick it off before we even get into the good stuff. I got to tell y'all a little story. My husband told me to stay on script. But the funny thing about it is not about him this time. I feel like when you put...
He was nervous. He was real nervous.
I feel like when you put people on blast, you got to be able to take the blast, right? So, like, that's where I'm at right now. I'm in that process of taking the blast. So, over the weekend, right, I go, I'm, you know, preparing to, you know, go out for a nice little weekend getaway, you know. And I get ready, you know. I go through the process of getting ready, put my clothes on and everything. Got to put deodorant on, guys, because can't nobody, you know, you don't want to be out here being musty. Don't nobody like anybody musty. What's wrong? I don't know about y'all, but me personally, I don't, you know, we like to be fresh. You like to smell fresh.
Mm-hmm.
So I have my deodorant. Now, when you buy a brand new bottle of deodorant, what is the first thing that you have to do? What is the first thing you got to do when you buy a brand new thing of deodorant?
Peel the plastic off the top?
Yep.
Okay.
Or if you have, like, the other one, it has that little cap.
Oh, the spray.
The little, you know, no, the little.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's got the little cap underneath.
Right. So all the time that I have ever had this,
mm-hmm.
I've always used my teeth to pull that thing off the top. Yeah. So I did it like this. And my tooth, I took my tooth. Piece of my tooth came right out, all in the front, right here.
Oh, you have been to the dentist already?
No.
Oh,
it's still chipped.
Oh, okay. Tanya, zoom in. Zoom in. Zoom in. Just zoom in, though.
Thank God for big lips. But I'm right here.
Oh, wow.
Here.
So now you're trying to talk like this.
Now I'm
now
over
she,
here.
Now she's shy laughing.
Now.
That's right. That's your laugh now.
Oh, my God, guys. It's right there. I'm telling you guys. I was like, first of all, me and Mike always go into this whole process of, you know, like getting into it with each other. You know, he's the one, you know, he used to smoke cigarettes and stuff like that. So I'm like, you're going to smoke them cigarettes, your tooth's going to fall out. So we've always been in that process. It takes me to do the stupidest thing in the world to take the top off of a deodorant for my tooth to come out. Wow. I was just so done. I was overdone. Now I'm sitting here and I got this jagged edge part. My tongue is cutting on my tongue, and then when I'm talking, I'm whistling.
Oh, you feel like you got a little lisp going.
I got a lisp.
Little lisp.
I got a lisp, guys. I'm telling you. Yeah. I'm sitting there. I'm like,
I can't smile too big.
Look at it. See, you can even see it if I'm. But I can't smile too big. I can't talk too loud. I'm over here having full-fledged meetings, trying to, you know, talk without doing too much movement. I'm telling you guys, I'm glad that it's kind of like the side part. You know, like, you know, you could like, I could like put like a gold tooth right there. I'm, you know, contemplating putting a gold tooth right there, right here on the side.
I can't even see the chicken.
Good. Now he say it's a sexy chip. What is a sexy chip?
Is it that
plenty
chip? Yeah.
What is a sexy chip tooth?
It's like a bad part.
What is a sexy chip tooth? There's none sexy in a chip tooth. See, my husband, he likes ratchetness. He loves that. He loves that ratchetness. So yeah. So I had went over to my cousin's house to you know, because we got a deaf in the family, and I showed it to my sister. So my sister, in the midst of the whole process, she's not saying nothing because we're kind of in like a we're in our mourning phase, right? We're trying to console my cousin and everything. And I show it to her, and she almost fainted. Now, she didn't say anything, but 24 hours later, she called me personally to let me have it. I mean, she wrote that thing so hard. I'm just saying, guys, I got to get this thing fixed. I sound like a snake. It's like, no, it fell in the sink, down the drain. It's first of all, we are not gonna dig in no elbow to get no piece of tooth. I'm sorry. Oh, I didn't know that. He said you can kill me. Jesus. But I need a good dentist. That's all I can say, guys. But you know what? Shout out to Dr. Wright, because Dr. Wright in Maywood, he's a good dentist. He get down from the ruler to the tutor. So I put in an appointment. I can't go too long sitting here like this. You know, never had to experience that in my life, but I did. And I'm the one, and I think it's because my husband and my sister, they both jinxed me over time that, you know, we always want to play with people's teeth. Dr. Dana.
What happened?
Are you on the screen trying to look at the chip?
No.
Are you trying to see the chip?
She's not zooming in. No, I can only see what you see.
God bless. That's all I would say. God bless. But let's get down to the
Jesus. Let's get down.
Let's get to the good part, because that was I had to, because I put Mike's feet out there last week. So I had to put, you know, an event that I have had over the course of this week since I've been away from you guys. And I feel like, you know, there's something about a smile. A smile is everything. You know? Without a smile, you kind of done. If your teeth jacked up, you kind of done. Like, that's just it. There's nothing else for you.
You won't be doing this show like this.
Yes. I am going to do this. Be sitting down. I'm just saying, though. I can't help you. But guys, yes. See, I can't even laugh. I'm done with people. I'm done. I'm just saying, guys, it was an amazing. I was so mad. I have done that. I have always pulled the cap. And then my son, he wants to be a smart aleck. He wants to say, Mom, have you ever just rolled the deodorant all the way to the top until the tap comes off?
Yeah, I like that.
Like, don't challenge my method of doing stuff, but I guess it came at a loss. Came at a loss. That's it. That's it. That's the end of the show, guys. Thank you. Yeah, we appreciate it. I'm not. So, today, guys, we're going to talk about, are you too busy to succeed? Shut up. Are you too busy to...
What did he say? He said something. He did.
I ain't got time for y'all jokes. I ain't got time.
Well, wait.
But are you too busy to succeed? You got jokes. Now, see, when Mike, and I thought Mike was going to be the one to, like, ride this all the way down to the depths. I thought he was never going to, like, I thought he was going to take it. Down to the gum. I thought he was going to put it down there. I thought he really was going to do me.
No, I had a very close up. I didn't want to give out because I did something.
You did something else this week? Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah, he did. And I'm not going to put you out there because, you know, I'm going to wait.
She's going to save it for next week.
Right, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. It was all about me right now. But guys, real talk.
So that whole dividing thing, huh? It just went out the door.
Right. Now he's right there in the pocket now. Now he wants to do it because he realized it wasn't about him. Yeah. So, but I'm gonna get you. So guys, we're gonna talk about the three warning signs that you're that you're too busy to succeed.
She look like the kids on Zoom right now.
Oh my God.
Like one of my Zoom kids. Girl, can't nobody see your mouth? Go ahead and talk.
You know what?
They can't. I ain't seen it
okay.
yet. And I'm looking hard. I'm all right. I'm trying to get her to zoom. Zoom in on that. Zoom in on that tooth. That's the king. Can you zoom in on that tooth, though? Down to the molar.
All right, guys. So let's get down to the important stuff.
When we gonna get to the good part? Get down to the good part.
We feel most alone when we're busy, right? Always ripping and running. Always, you know, doing something, right? And what does it cause? You know, running through stop signs, right? Tailgating, you know, cars. You know, when you're busy and you feel like you have to, you know, drive, I feel like the busy people have the most road rage. And then trying to explain yourself out of the way to the reason why you're late for something. Because we're always busy. But how is it that some people who are able to achieve far greater progress, success, and freedom than others have the same amount of time? So there are successful people out here who are naturally busy. You know, they're busy, but they're successful. So this is what we're going to talk about today, guys. This is what we're going to communicate today. We're going to talk about this, and thank God for Dale Partridge, who is the contributor to this. To this. Look, I'm gonna sit up straight.
That's what you should have did. You should have got you a nice little decorative mask.
You know what?
I wouldn't bother me none.
Guys, really, the point is, at the end of the day, you know, I know you're busy. You know you're busy, right? The real question is, how do we escape it, right? How do we avoid that whole process? Because if you didn't know, being busy is an addiction. You know, some people like to be busy just to tell people that they're busy. You know, they got a lot of stuff going on. They got a lot of things going on. And they were, oh, I got this going on and that. What is the purpose behind telling people that you're busy? That's a good question. Dr. Dana, what's the purpose of telling people that we're busy?
If we're being honest, we tell people we're busy because we don't have time to do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But other times we tell people we're busy, or we put on the facade of being busy because we're really not busy.
Mm-hmm.
So we want people to think that we're constantly busy, but we're really not busy because we ain't got no business.
You ain't got no business. You ain't got no job, Tommy.
No,
it's a mirage. You know, busy is an addiction, but it's a mirage. It tells people that more effort equals more progress, and that's simply not true. It wasn't until I got to a point within myself, you know, as a professional, to really identify what the heck am I being busy? What am I busy doing? You know, am I doing a bunch of different things that's really not taking me anywhere,
mm-hmm.
or am I busy, but I'm also seeing progress and I'm also seeing an expected end. So then that's the thing. Like, what is that? As you mature in that particular aspect, mm-hmm. as a professional, as you mature and understanding the difference between success, progress, and busy, and just being busy, it's one of those aha moments, right? It's one of the things that the light bulb starts to come on. Successful people develop a system for moving ideas through to completion. When you are successful, you have a certain path, right? So what's the path? The path is you have an idea, right? Mm-hmm. And from that idea, you initiate the idea, which means you put some action into it, right? Then you work that idea. Then you finish that idea. Then you take the idea off the plate. And then you go to the next idea. That is a successful progress. That's successful progress. That's what happens when you have thoroughly moved through something. Sure enough, you're going to be busy in that process. But at the end of the day, you remove your main goal is to take that particular idea or whatever that activity is off your plate so that you can move on to the next idea. A lot of times we like juggling multiple ideas at the same time. We like to do one thing and then juggle another and then juggle another. And then somewhere along that line, we start to feel burnt out. But a successful, how can I say, successful people or successful busy always ends up taking that particular task off your plate and moving to the next task, right? But on the contrary, busy people are very effective at getting ideas onto the plate and even working the idea, but they lack the reliable system to getting things off their plate. So for someone who is just busy, this is what your plate looks like. You have an idea, right? You initiate that idea. You work that idea. Then you get bored with that idea.
Okay.
Then you go on to the next idea, and then you juggle in multiple ideas on your plate until you get the energy or the drive to want to go back to that specific idea. It is not a good thing, guys, to juggle multiple ideas. And if you become bored with a particular idea, because I feel like we can get bored in the task or get bored in the idea. But if your main goal is not to complete that idea, but to just have it on your plate, that's the thing that you need to reconsider. Your whole purpose of having a goal, your whole purpose of having an idea is to see it to the end. If you do not want to see it to the end, then you have to come to that point whether or not that idea is necessary, which in turn ends up allowing you to take that particular idea off your plate and go to the things that are worthwhile. See, now we're in a place where we have to focus on things that are important, the things that are necessary, the things that are quote-unquote essential, right? And in doing that, we have to really start to identify what are we doing? What are our actions? What are our goals? What are our plans? Is it just to go through the day-to-day? Is it just to, you know, complete activities and, you know, go to sleep, wake up and do the same thing over again? Do you have progress? So here we have these three ways. We're going to take a quick break so that I can regroup myself. But we have three ways to know that you are too busy to succeed. We're going to ask these questions. We're going to get ourselves right. And by the end of this particular show, we're going to realize that, you know, maybe we are doing a lot of things that we don't need to be doing. Kyle, I hate you so much right now. You are so crazy, but we have to get to that point of understanding where we're busy at. And by the end of this show, we're going to drop a whole lot of stuff off our plate. We're going to focus on the things that are very necessary, and we're going to get our lives together by the end of this show. So hold on one second. Let me regroup myself from my family over here, my TPLO family, who decided that they wanted to, you know, play smiling faces and everything else. that's leading up to this tip poop I got in my mouth. And we'll be right back. One sec. We are back once again. Welcome to Grindology, where we study all things professional. And we are talking to today.
No, I won't rush. How's about a little kiss? I got no beef in my teeth. Got some chicken
too. I'm gonna slap this man. Kind of that's anywho, I just came to say,
don't be a yuck mouth. Another.
I don't like him right now, guys.
I'm
right
so
now, it is so funny. It is so funny. But right now, guys, success requires a great deal of ingredients, from strong relationships, strong and well-organized life, into fanatical focus and a commitment to set forth a plan, right? And when these things, when these areas fall, your pace, your desire for success goes with it, right? But let's talk about it. What are the warning signs, right? What are the warning signs of being too busy to succeed? First one is always taking a plan B. Always taking a plan B. So the author says the word compromise is used in two different sentences. One typically positive, the other one is typically negative. The good sense of compromise is finding common ground with another person, as in reaching an agreement about a difficult course of action or something that's going to affect you both, right? The bad sense is being untrue to your core values and beliefs, as in selling out to achieve some short-term goal. So always taking a plan B, right, guys? Busyness often forces us to make negative compromises in areas we'd rather not make compromises in. Areas that are essential to success areas that are essential to success is the recipe. Maybe it's missing time with your kids, right? Maybe it's being on your computer after 6 p.m. Maybe it's not eating healthy or exercising. Maybe it's not going to bed at a decent hour. Lord knows I'm one of those ones. I don't go to bed at a decent hour. I'm finna slap somebody. I'm finna slap them. I hate these dudes right now. I hate y'all. They ain't gonna even do. See, they ain't playing. They
ain't
playing.
Doing nothing.
But guys, real talk, whatever it is. See, I can't even do my. I can't even do myself. Whatever it is, busyness often forces us to take a plan B, and a plan B routine typically ends up as a plan B life. So, guys, like really, when we're too busy, we're always compromising the things that should be part of our core value, right? It's spending time with family. You know, a lot of times when we're too busy, we, you know, one of the first areas that are impacted in our life is our relationships with our family, our relationships in our marriage, you know, like just relationships with our friends, everything, because you're too busy, right? And we end up taking that type of sacrifice. We're like, oh, okay, you know, they understand. You know, they understand that we're busy. They understand that we're grinding to get to this particular goal. But when you're too busy to succeed, you're always taking a plan B. So somebody is always, always too busy taking a plan B. So somebody is always in the back burner. You know, things are always pushed off. You know, you're not eating as healthy as you should. You're not, hey, Dr. Thomas, you're not exercising. What do you say? What?
Hey, everybody keep taking them plan Bs. They might want to pull out.
Oh, you are so silly. You are off. You guys
you're so busy. If you stop being so busy, you won't need that plan B. Huh?
You know what? Sorry. I'm gonna leave y'all alone with this plan B. But yes, you're gonna always live a plan B life, which is a good analogy when you actually think about it. But the question is for everybody, for all my grinders out there, right? Does your schedule often force you to make negative compromises? You know, if so, what are you gonna do about that? What are you gonna do to change that? You know, because if your road to success always revolves around you always taking negative hits, it's going to come to bite you in the butt. What you think about that, Dr. Dana?
If that's what your focus is, or if you're not focused, I'm going to say it that way. If you're not focused, it's always going to be a you looking for another way out. Successful people really don't have plan B's, so to speak. Successful people say this is the plan. They make the plan adjustable,
right?
But they never like say, well, if this don't work, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Because you're going into it with a negative mindset.
Yeah. I had a CEO who used to always tell me that, you know, we can't always make exceptions to the rule. If mm-hmm. you have created a standard in your life, if you have created a rule, then there's no exception to that rule. It mm-hmm. should be little exception to that rule. If you start making the exception the rule,
mm-hmm.
goes back to what we were just saying, you're going to always live a plan B life. So, guys, as entrepreneurs, as professionals out there, we want to always focus on living a life that is driven around our core values and our beliefs. That's our primary. Anything that we're moving towards, anything that we're focused on should always be revolved around our core values and our beliefs. When we start to negate those things, that challenges our integrity. You know, that puts a spin on it, because it almost makes you almost like hypocritical. You know, like, okay, you say you believe in family, but when you're doing things, you know, if you're busy and you're mm-hmm. too busy, then you're like, okay, well, you know, I can't spend time with y'all. You know, I can't, you know, take time for a date night with my husband, or, you know, I can't, you know, join church or teach Bible study, or, you know, these are your core beliefs. But if you're always negating them because you're busy, then that means you're too busy to succeed, because your core values and your beliefs should always balance you out. And it's really the thing that should drive your success, no matter what goal you're doing. But if you're a sellout, that means if you're a sellout your core beliefs, if you're sell out your core values just for a short-term goal, then you have to reconsider. You really, really have to reconsider. So let's talk about the second way to identify if you're too busy to succeed, right? Your relationships end up in the kiddie pool. So going back into, you know, your plan B's, let's talk about relationships, right? In the crunch of priorities, where do your relationships fall? Like, where's your relationships when it comes to prioritizing? Dr. Dana, where does your relationships fall in terms of
priorities? I guess you're talking about what relationships are you talking about?
The ones that are important to you.
If they are like family, then they're prioritized. They stay at the top of the list.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it depends on because we're talking about business and stuff like that. If these people are supporting you, then they recognize that during this whatever process of you building something that they need to take not necessarily a step back, but a step to the side.
Yeah, definitely.
To allow your process to work. So yeah, but no, I'm all for it. I think you should definitely keep those people that are close to you priority.
Definitely, definitely. So the author says, right, in the crunch of priorities, where do your relationships fall? The deep end or the kiddie pool?
Mm.
For most busy, driven individuals with countless demands on their lives, keeping up with friends often gets pushed to the side. But you can't treat relationships like a hobby. You'll take up most of your time being busy, right? And then you'll just put your relationships on the side, really. Family and friends must remain a priority, as they are an integral part of rest, joy, and growth. Now, that's the three crucial components of successful living: rest, joy, and growth. Now, if you're busy and you're trying to obtain a goal, and in that goal, you're so busy, you're so inundated with all kinds of tasks and activities that you can't have rest. You can't find joy in what you do, and joy in spending time with others, and growth from any aspect of your life. That is a red flag. That means that you're too busy to engage. Now, I'm going to tell you guys, that's almost like preaching, ministering to me, because when I think about those things, You constantly, when you're busy, you're constantly wanting to put more tasks on that feel you may think that's going to take you to the point of achieving your goals. But in all honesty, all it does is hold you back from being successful and living a successful life. I don't think I want to live a successful life if I can't have joy in it.
Mm.
You know, if at the end of the day,
that's good.
You know, you have to, you're going through all these things, you're losing sleep, you know, you're losing friends, you know, your family, your children, your spouse is feeling, you know, neglected. That's a concern, you know, and that should be a concern for you, because there's nothing in this world that is that important for you to lose that. And I had to learn that. That's a testimony for me, because I had to learn that the hard way. I used to be like telling my man, if you understand my grind, then you'll understand, you know, that, you know, this is the part of it. You know, you work hard, you play hard. I'm going to work hard, and then eventually I'll get over to doing what I need to do. Not knowing that under the same breath, I'm dying on the inside. You know, I'm tired and I'm not happy and I'm frustrated, because now I'm stressed. Because now my life is just, you know, totally, totally consumed with work, totally consumed with business, totally consumed with other people's business, you know. And eventually I had to come to terms, and that was all guy. I'm gonna tell you, that was all guy. Had to come to terms. Like, he's like, I ain't called you to do all this stuff and run around like a chicken with his head cut off. That is not my assignment for you. That is not my goal for you. If whatever I gave you and whatever I assigned you to do, please believe me, I supplied all the needs, all the resources, and everything for you to obtain what it is for you to fulfill what I called you to do. Now, when you do stuff that you feel like you're called to do, that's when you get all the craziness. That's when you get too busy trying to control everything. But we must be intentional about forming and building solid relationships. We have to. Rushed catch-up chats and text messages don't count. You know, like those little guilty text messages, you know, you didn't call your girlfriend, you know, in a while, and, you know, you just want to call, hey, I'm just calling to check in on you. 5 minutes in between you doing another thing. I was bad for that. Let me call and check on Jenny and try to see what she, hey, girl, I was just calling to see what you're doing, knowing that you really didn't care. You just felt a little guilty because this is supposed to be your quote-unquote friend, someone that, you know, your BFF, and you can't even take enough time to engage. So that was one of the goals that I even set to start for myself, like, you know, just over the course of the week, that I was going to take time for myself and I was going to take time to spend with, you know, my friends and my loved ones. Not so much necessarily like with me and Mike, I have to schedule time for us to have date nights and overnight getaways, because if we don't, the tension is high in the house, I'm telling you. It's just one of those things. If he sees me bust out, if we have a overnight getaway, or if we, you know, have a date night and he see me bust out that laptop, he's okay. He's a little bit okay. But if it's been like almost 3 weeks and then we ain't got away and he ain't spent time with his wife, every time I open up that laptop, his eyes roll. It's like, he tell me to get my, what do you call it? Get my boyfriend out the bed. Get your other husband out the bed. He say, get Dale. Get Dale out the bed. I'm like, you know what? But if we get away, he kind of respects the balance. And I think that that's why it's so important for us to spend time with each other and spend time, you know, even with yourself. It's unnecessary. So relationships require investment of real time, not the little check-ins, real time and energy. And then there's nothing exciting about being wealthy, known, and alone. That's what the author says about this one. Now, you can have all the money in the world. You can hit these pinnacles that you plan to reach, right? Mm-hmm. But that ain't going to mean nothing if you at the top and you sitting there, you all by yourself, known and alone. Hey, I know you. Now you gotta pay for friends. Mm. And you know when you know how you see it. What was that movie with Eddie Murphy, trading places? Yep. And then when he became when he switched places with Dan Aykroyd, he was rich. Everybody was in the house kicking it with him, drinking up the liquor, putting cigarettes out on his good rug and everything. And, you know, and he just looked at it totally different then. But it was just seemed like everybody wanted to kick it when he had everything going on. And then next thing you know, he starts seeing people use him and do that other stuff, and things change. So it's nothing like being wealthy, known, and alone. But here's the question about this one, guys, which is the perfect, I feel like it's the perfect segue. Hey, Marguerite, are you too busy to catch up with people? Are you investing into friends and family, or are you just checking in when it's convenient for you? That's the question I need to ask out here that you need to, you know, so you can get that, so your antennas can go up to identify whether or not you are too busy to succeed. Because if you are, you're too busy to catch up with people and you're too busy to invest in friendships. And I like to invest in the friendships that invest in me. Those are the ones that tell me, you know, a girl, you need to rest. You know, you need to chill. You know, one of the things that I appreciate, even in my work relationships, that some, like my VP and others, will see me like working all kind of crazy hours, and then they just come in and like chime in and was like, if you don't turn off, I'm gonna have you automatically shut off. Like, people have actually threatened to automatically get IT to put a time on me. Like, I'm some kid with, you know, like I have play time or TV time or tablet time. She said she was gonna cut me off. But with that, I did understand the fact that it's important to spend time with individuals. I was so happy to get away this weekend. I came back and I felt like regenerated.
Where'd you go?
I ended up going to Indianapolis.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I ended up hitting a few wineries.
Okay.
Getting nice and toasty.
Okay. Okay.
I was getting nice and toasty. But I feel like I appreciate that time, you know, that time spent, that you know, engagement and, you know, and just being able to do something outside of working or, you know, just outside of your normal day-to-day. And then I was able to come home on 10, right, babe? I was excited. I didn't want to see another bottle of wine, though, I can tell you that. That lets you know when you drink too much wine, when you don't want to see another one. When you don't want to see nothing else. Like, it was just, I don't know. I felt like I didn't feel like a wino. But I felt wined out. That was a real wind down. That was a real wind down.
Okay.
Let's talk about the third way to alert yourself that you are too busy to succeed, right? And the author uses this term, your socks don't go there. Organization is a requirement of success. We all know that, right? And busy is organized arch nemesis. That's the complete opposite. When you're too busy, you cannot be organized. Researchers at Princeton University Institute published the results of a study they conducted and proved physical clutter negatively affects your ability to focus and process information. Now, I mean, Princeton says that, but, you know, your mama and your auntie and everybody else have told you that, you know, God can't work in mess. Cleanliness is next to godliness. All the terms that we was raised off of when it came to dealing with clutter. I don't know about you guys, but when my house is too dirty, when it's all stuff all over the place. Now, mind you, Monday through Friday, I might, you know, like wherever I take off my work clothes, that's where it's at. Until, you know, I start to collect everything and push it into the laundry room. But for the most part, when you're trying to rest, when you're trying to focus, when you're trying to really, you know, like be organized, you can't think when stuff is all over the place. I don't know about y'all. I can't do it. I can't think when everything is all over the place. But clutter competes with your attention. In the same way a toddler might stand next to you and annoyingly repeat, can I have some candy? Can I have some candy? Can I have some candy? It nags you. Clutter nags at you. And that's the honest to God truth. Clutter irritates you. Even though you might be able to focus partially,
mm-hmm.
you're highly aware that a screaming toddler is on your side asking for candy. It's like one of those things. Like, you try to ignore it. Like my son, every time he wants a video game, he's going to come to me and he's going to call me. Ma, can you help me? Can you help me? And I'm sitting there and I know what he wants. And I know it's there. But at the same time, I try to ignore it and hope that he'll go away and just say forget it. And he never do. So that's what it is. The disorganization eventually wears down your mental resources, and you're more likely to become frustrated. Another trait that is not helpful for your success. So real talk, guys, if you're looking, you know what, Nelly, I had to, because I see your facts out there, but let me tell you something. Nelly, you are a neat freak. I don't even think, have you ever had someone whose house is clean But if it's not their type of clean, like you go in their house and it's like spotless to you. But if they have like one glass or something out of the place, it's dirty. Like I would go into Nelly's house and she'd be like, excuse my house. And her house would be spotless. And I'm sitting there like, really? Let me move this throw blanket out the way. Throw blanket? Really? But I'm telling you, yes, Nelly. I know she's like, no, she ain't putting me out there on blast. But Nelly has a really clean house. I'm telling you, Nelly's house is spotless. But you have to be able to understand that that is not a helpful trait. It's not. You have to have clutter. I mean, you have to have cleanliness so that you can shut up. You have to have cleanliness or it's going to mess up your mental. That's all I'm going to say. It's going to mess up your mental. If your goal is to focus, finish, and process information with power, you must operate at a pace that will allow the daily clearing of clutter from your home and your work environment. I mean, I don't know about a lot of us. How many people have cluttered email inboxes? Like,
several.
Some people have, right now, if you look at your email, your inbox, in any of your emails, how many emails do you have in your how many? I can almost say in one of them, I know I got about 3,000.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yahoo, it's almost like 15,000, maybe 25,000 emails in there. But that is the thing, guys. You have to focus on clearing the clutter, not just from your homes and your work environment, guys, but from your mind, too. Because a lot of times we tend, being busy, it's hard for you to shut off mentally. You start thinking about so many different things, so many different aspects, and then you can't rest. Your mind can't rest, and then you're cluttered with a bunch of activities that's going on. And sometimes if you're like, say, for instance, if you're a parent, you have a spouse, you know, you have a business that you're trying to start, and you're working, your life is always consumed with thought. Thought about what you're going to eat when you come home for dinner. Thought about your kids. Are they going to school? Thought about thoughts about, you know, your business. I got to set up this website, and thoughts about all the activities that you got to do at work. You got a presentation to do or something. It's always constantly on the go. So your mind is cluttered. So you have to focus daily on shutting down mentally, decluttering your home, decluttering your work environment. People often believe messy is normal. Messy is normal. It's not normal. It's a sign of a person too busy to be responsible.
Okay.
Now that's...
First time I heard
What'd you
that.
Say,
that's
Nelly?
Good.
Oh my God, I have issues. That's okay, sis. Like, it's good to have an issue that's cleanliness. Like Nelly, like, I can't have no type of clutter. But it's, once again, it says people often believe messy is normal, and it's not. It's a sign of a person too busy to be responsible. So then that's the thing, guys, and this is the question to all my grinders out there. Is your car, your office, your home, your mind well organized or on a reliable cleaning schedule, meaning that you set time to clear your mind? Nelly says, I can keep my house clean, my workplace clean, my inbox clean, but my mind is cluttered with questions. Love your advice. And that's so true. You know, it's like, are these things piling up? You know, you got to have, one of the things that I realized, right, and this is one of the things, you know, being a Christian, going to church, one of the things that used to trip me out, right, is that you would have people who will treat the church sanctuary better than their own home.
Mm.
You know, you fight over, you can't chew gum, you can't eat in the sanctuary, you can't do these particular things in the sanctuary, but you put whatever you want to put in your body. Your house is all over the place.
Pretty much.
But the church is the place where it's just forbidden. And I used to, and I had caught a revelation of that one time. And I was like, God gives us more than one temple. You know, you got your church where you worship at, but your home and your body are temples as well. And how do we treat those better? You know, how do we treat a church building better than we treat our own body or our home in which we reside in Monday through Friday? So it's like one of those things I had to learn, like the same thing that goes on with my mind. It's hard for us to shut off mentally. It's hard for us to, you know, focus on just what we need to focus on for today, you know. And that's really the goal, guys, the end result of it all. But ask yourself that question, though. You know, look at your car. Now, I know my car used to be the culprit. Thank God for my husband, because he the one that cleans the truck out. But I have now later rappers, old, I'm going
to. Now later. I don't
want to
eat nothing right now.
I don't want to eat nothing hot.
Not now.
Like, Mike had a box with some hard trolls. Like, hard, it's like, it's trolls. Have you ever seen the trolleys? They're gummy. But he got the wine candy ones, the ones that's like Jolly Ranchers. They hard. So I was like, I'm not going to eat these. Let me eat these gummy bears. Let me eat these gummy bears over here. I ain't eating nothing hard right now. The last thing I need is the rest of this tooth to come out. That's all I'm going to say. Did you hear that? It's on my tooth. So I'm gonna hold on to this one until God replaces another one, because it's just done. But guys, it is so important. It is so important. Right. So you ain't gonna need none, hun. You just gonna be dead.
It says till tooth do you part.
I'm not gonna laugh at y'all. Too petty. You know what, guys, but real talk. You have to focus on clearing your mind. Because success is counterintuitive. The more work does not mean more results. That's just really bottom line, right? More work does not mean more results. It doesn't mean because you're more busy that you're going to get to wherever you're trying to get to quicker. We can spin our wheels and add to our plates until we turn blue in the face, but we must realize there are no shortcuts, only smart cuts to success. Are you too busy? What signs do you see? How do you feel when you're busy? You know, just let me know out there, family. How do you feel when you're busy? You know, when too many things are going on, what happens? Like Dr. Dana, what happens when you realize that you're too busy?
The first thing is you start to drop the ball on stuff. You double book. You start dropping the ball on stuff. Stuff starts to fall between the cracks. And then
real talk.
And then, you know, if you're overdoing it, your body will tell you.
Mm.
Yeah, your body will tell you that you're doing too much.
That is so true.
Yeah.
So like Dr. Dana just said, there are certain things. One of the things, and that happens to me a lot, like if I'm too busy, I start dropping the ball on things. Like the quality of work that you produce mm-hmm. becomes real, like, mediocre, you know, and now you're just doing things just to get by. And that was one of the things when I was thinking about, oh, yeah, I'm going to go back to school and I'm going to do this. My thing is I had to think about that thing. Am I going to effectively engage? And that's one of the things you have to identify in your whole world of busyness. When are you fully engaged in each and every activity on your plate? Meaning that you take the time to really engage in what you're doing or what you're learning or what you're experiencing. Or are you just doing things and getting them off your plate and it becomes just this mediocre task or a task that's not creating growth, progress, or fulfillment. So we have to get to that point, guys, to understand that whatever we're doing in life, whatever we have our mindset on, whatever goals we have focused on, we have to make sure that, one, we're giving it the attention that it needs. We're balancing our lives out with our work, but our friends, family, relationships, we're valuing everything. And then on top of that, we're decluttering. We're taking out all the necessary time. Nellie says she feels like I don't have time for me. And that is such a key, important aspect of life, is to have time for yourself. You have your children, you have your spouse, you have your job, you have every other responsibility, because not only that, you might be an auntie, a grandma, anything. And your life is full with so much stuff that you have to have time for yourself. You have to make time. No one is going to create time for you to have time for yourself. No one is going, really, people don't really care. As long as you're getting whatever they need done, they don't care if you're working hours and hours in the day. They don't care if you're drilling yourself down. And one of the things I had to tell myself, and I tell myself constantly, I love my job, I love what I do, but guess what? If I work my fingers to the bone and I die because of working this job, are they going to stop their business mm-mm. because of me? Mm-mm. Are they going to pay my family any of that money for all the extra hours that I've worked to help this company to succeed? You know, those things, when you're gone, you're gone. That's it. You know, and we don't need to spend a lot of time focusing on those things. But I had to learn that the hard way. Nellie, I really had to learn that the hard way. You know, it was to the point of you feeling empty. You know, you feel alone. You know, you feel like you're all by yourself. And that's one of the things that the author says way in the beginning of the article. Way in the beginning. We feel most alone when we're busy. We're by ourselves. We're going through the motions. You know, sometimes my husband, I know that my family and everybody, they understand that I'm busy. But when I start getting into that point where I want to vent or talk about it, sometimes you feel like you're not getting the response that you're looking for. You know, sometimes the response that you're looking for is, no, you know what, I got you. You know, I'm going to take over this particular task, or I'm going to take over this particular task. But at the end of the day, they're not going to put them extra tasks on their plate because you're busy. You have to make that decision to spend time for yourself. And it's a necessary. You should make it a requirement. It should be part of your core values and beliefs. If it's not, because a lot of times as women, we do that. We negate the time to spend with ourselves and getting our minds situated and getting our thought process situated and just spending time just not doing anything, not engaging, not talking, nothing, just being. And we don't treat that as a priority. So in order for us to get to those levels where we do treat that as a priority, we have to let go and we have to analyze the things that are not necessary. So guys, this is my takeaway, that you look and you analyze everything that you're doing. Write a list of all the things you got on your plate and sit and take the time to identify each and every one of those particular things. Is it important? You know, is it part of your core values and your mission and your goal? You know, can you do it and have rest, joy, and growth out of it? Or are you just doing it? And when you get down to it and you're finished looking at your list and you start crossing some of these things off, don't be afraid to check it off. Check it off your list and then come to that real understanding of what's important and take that and run with it. But that's it. That's my conclusion on it. But guys, I hope that this particular article helped. I hope that this topic really helped and allowed us to really focus on what it is. Are we too busy to succeed? Think about that. And I will talk to you guys next Thursday, where we're going to have more of this. Hopefully by that time, my tooth is fixed and I won't have to deal with the Sugar Hill Gang in here making jokes and, you know, sucking their teeth and stuff like that, like they got meat in their teeth and stuff. And then Mike gonna fix some steak right. So I'm biting into the steak, praying. Lose your tooth. But guys, Nelly, I love you, sis. You just don't know how much you inspire me. Like, you have always been that inspiration for me, and I need you to take time for yourself. Don't make me come over there and get you, because I'm gonna come and get you, and we gonna have to take a wine trip and go out and hang out. You know, you got a bike though, so you know, if I had a motorcycle, I'd ride out with you. But you know, I'll come and get you, sis. I love you. Thank you so much for supporting Grindology. Hey, family. I will see you guys next Thursday. Hopefully, your sister will have her grill fixed right now, because I'm like all discombobulated. But I love you. I love you. See you guys.
Ain't no Reese's over here. They all gone.
Nah. Nah. That's what you get. God don't like ugly. You know what, guys? I'm gonna get my grill right. I'm gonna get grill front.
Oh,
good. Eating itself. Y'all some ignorant people.
Johnny looking good too. Match.